This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
Pushing the Odds on a Friday. Let's spend some time with Gina Thomas from SBNation.com on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Gina, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Tell me why you don't like Gordon Hayward wanting Celtics fans to chant, "Daddy's always happy." Why? What's wrong with that?
It's just so weird. It's such a weird thing to chant. Can't you come up with something that makes sense and is relevant to the Celtics? Like, Brad Stevens is good, or I don't know. Like, something other than that, it's just so awkward.
Did you see the video where he, on the gender reveal, did you see why he wants that done?
No, I didn't. Okay. I actually had no context for it.
Okay, the reason why he wants Daddy's Always Happy is because he wanted a son, and they did a gender reveal, and it was a girl. And he has two other girls. This is his third girl. And so he just kind of tucked his tail, and his one of his daughters said, "Daddy, are you happy?" And he said, "Daddy's always happy." Like, deadpanned
it. Oh, my gosh.
So that's where that comes from. So that's why it's a Celtics joke more than it's a, I don't know, a Gordon Hayward joke, I guess. But there is some relevant context to why Gordon Hayward wants that to be done. I'm with you, though. It is a little weird.
Now that you say it, though, I think it's funny. So at least there's that.
Yeah, he's poking fun at himself, at least, for having a kind of a negative reaction. My wife always yells at me because when we found out that we were pregnant, my wife said, "Okay, I'm pregnant," and I freaked out for a couple of hours, and she was like, "What's your problem?" And I said, "I'm in crisis mode right now. We're having a kid." And she always goes back to that on me, saying, "Yeah, when I told you we were pregnant, your answer was, 'I'm in crisis mode.'" So there, I tend to relate a little bit to Gordon's reaction to that a little bit on finding out he's having his third daughter and not a son. All right, so
as a parent of two daughters, I also relate to it. So.
That, oh my gosh, a human being's relying on me. That's scary.
Yes.
All right, so it's a chance tonight to watch more preseason football. How do you feel about the first preseason game? Are you interested, or is this just really boring to you?
You know, I'm always interested, but I know that I maybe have a different level of interest because I cover the Falcons.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, this is the first time that we'll see the Falcons back on the field since they lost in the playoffs last year. So I'm eager to see how they look. I'm eager to see if Julio Jones' holdout impacts him at all. And then they have a lot of, you know, exciting young players that I'm excited to get a first look at. So, and I think that we'll see a lot more from those guys tonight than we will from the veterans. So, yeah, I mean, I'm always excited about it. It's a glorified scrimmage. It's very vanilla. You know, you don't really have game plans going into it. So I think that as long as you take it in the proper context, preseason can be a lot of fun.
Let's stay with the Falcons for a second. Are there battles that you're interested to see for starting positions, for starting jobs, that we might get a glimpse of tonight?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest one is really the right guard job. And they've had a lot of inconsistency there since Chris Chester retired before last season. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how that happens. Some of the candidates are, they have Sean Harlow, and then they have Wes Schweitzer. And so I think those are really the two main names to keep an eye on. But that offensive line has been so good. You know, right guard is just really the big question mark. And to keep Matt Ryan upright and to keep the run game functioning the way that it needs to, they've got to have a well-functioning line. And so I think that that's probably the biggest one.
Do you expect Matt Ryan to play? And if so, for how long?
I expect Matt Ryan to play maybe a series. Dan Quinn pretty much said that he thinks that Matt Ryan and Matt Schaub will be done early because he would like to have extended time to evaluate. They have two other quarterbacks on the roster right now. And so I think that those two guys are going to be the ones who get most of the play.
Interesting. All right, so later tonight we've got the return of John Gruden to the Raiders. And there's a lot of really strange things happening with the Oakland Raiders, and that's kind of par for the course, I guess. But John Gruden's done some very unique things already here, and the fact that his number one defensive player, Khalil Mack, is not in camp. He's got 1 year left, $13 million. He's not going to come in unless he gets a new contract. And there's been little to no contact between the head coach, who apparently, even though there is a guy above him, has all the football control, football powers. How do you feel about the return of John Gruden, and do you think it's going to be an easy transition, or is 10 years away a long time and it might be a bumpy start?
You know, Gruden is just a really interesting case. I mean, I think that the way that his new tenure in Oakland is unfolding is a surprise to me and a surprise to many people, because it just seems like Gruden thinks he's still coaching in the 90s. So it's just been a very, you know, he's brought in aging players, and then, you know, Khalil Mack is one of the league's best, undoubtedly. And, you know, to not make him more of a priority on a defense that I think sorely needs him is really confusing to me. So I'm really interested to see. This Raiders team has a ton of talent. I'm really interested to see how the season shakes out for them. And, you know, we will get a glimpse of that tonight.
Yeah. Lions have Matt Patricia, first-time head coach. Former Patriot assistant coaches have not done well in head coaching positions. Do you see this could be more of the same, or could Matt Patricia be kind of outside the norm, being the rocket scientist that he is, now taking over the Lions?
Yeah, and I think that when you look at some of the former Patriots assistants who've gone on to be head coaches, for example, I think that Josh McDaniels was a great example. He was so young at the time. I think that maturity was maybe an issue for him. And I think that if McDaniels were to leave now and try it again, I think that you might have a very different outcome. And I think it's the same with Patricia. You know, I think that he seems to have a lot of maturity. I think that his defensive mindset is definitely something that the Lions need. And so, yeah, I think that he certainly has a chance to succeed.
So last year, Deshaun Watson had an amazing college career, goes to the Texans, and the Texans were very hesitant to play him early. They had a veteran in there. They wanted to go ahead and roll with the veteran. And then after the first half of the first game went haywire, all of a sudden Bill O'Brien goes ahead and inserts Deshaun Watson, and away they went last year. Now the Browns are facing kind of a similar thing. They got a veteran in Tyrod Taylor, number one pick overall in Baker Mayfield, two touchdown passes, over 200 yards in his first game. Glorified scrimmage, I understand it, but if you're Cleveland, do you follow the Watson model, or do you hope that Tyrod Taylor can keep Baker Mayfield on the sidelines for maybe four, five, six games?
You know, this is my personal opinion. I think that they should roll with Tyrod Taylor and give Baker Mayfield a chance to develop and learn. Hugh Jackson is a great quarterback's coach. I think that Deshaun Kizer could have been very good. I think that they really took that opportunity from him last year by throwing him out there too soon. And so I would prefer to see them let Mayfield have a chance to continue to develop. The speed of the game is very different for guys coming in out of college. You know, it's just a huge adjustment. And, you know, learning to read a defense at this level when you're playing against, you know, the top 3% of athletes who come out of the NCAA as opposed to, you know, just college guys. It's such a huge difference. And so Tyrod looked phenomenal last night. And Baker Mayfield looked very good. I thought he made very good decisions. I think he showed a lot of promise. I would just prefer, for Mayfield's sake and for the Browns' sake, because they've been looking for this long-term franchise quarterback since 1999, to let him have a chance to develop. Don't rush it, and make sure that he can have a chance to be the sure thing that they need.
How much pressure will Cleveland have on them, in your mind, if Baker Mayfield continues to play well in the preseason?
Oh, a lot. A lot, because I think that, you know, we've seen this Browns team flounder for so many years. I mean, one winning season in recent memory, you know, one win over the past two seasons. I think that there is going to be a ton of pressure, because if people think that Mayfield can help this team win, now this team is stacked with talent. You know, I think that they did a really good job this offseason. I think that the past 2 years they've had very strong drafts, and so they have a ton of talent. And so, yeah, I think that if Mayfield continues to play like this, I think that they will feel some pressure to start him.
Does Hard Knocks help or hurt the storyline of Baker Mayfield as a future starter this year for the Browns?
You know, it's interesting. And I think that probably as it goes on, it will probably help solidify him in people's minds as the guy who should be starting. I still don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think the bravado, the confidence, you know, how likable of a character he is, he comes across very well on television. And I think Hard Knocks, as we all watch it and we all love it, what'd you make of Hugh Jackson in the way that he handled the passing of his mother, in the fact that in one breath he's saying, I'm not sleeping, and in the next breath he's talking about a defensive alignment and what the team wants to do? It was such a stark reality as to what these football coaches go through every week, every day, right?
Oh, yeah, it was. I was blown away by the first episode, actually. I've watched most of the seasons, and, you know, I was there at Falcons training camp when they were filming that one, which was a really fascinating experience. But yeah, I was really amazed by the fact that he was able to keep his level of focus, because not only did he lose his mother, but he had lost his brother just prior. And so that is a lot to grapple with when you're also trying to get a team that won no games last year ready for the season.
I would agree. Last question. The Browns went 0-16 and 1-15 What's your realistic number for a win total this year for Cleveland?
You know, I'm going to pencil them in for six games. And is a six-win season good? But that's 600 times more games than they've won in the past 2 years. So it would be a very big improvement.
Absolutely. And the numbers here in Vegas would go ahead and back you up on that. It's 5.5 here in Vegas for the projection for the Browns. Gina, great stuff. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. That's Gina Thomas from SB Nation at Gina Thomas. You want to follow her on Twitter on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. 5.5. The number, I told you, I can find four wins easy. I'm struggling on five. Six, I'm getting nervous. Six, I'm going, I don't know. That's why I haven't bet it yet. But I'm with her. I have them going 6-10. I really do think they're going to go 6-10. I just haven't gotten to the point where I'm willing to put my money down on it. And I hate futures. But that's a very interesting team. Very talented team. More on the Browns next. SB Nation Radio.